This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Welcome to Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. We try to bring you useful information and answer any questions you might have, as long as they're financial. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Mark and PB. How you doing, Mark? And for all those guys out there, Mark, who don't know where PB is, that's Pacific Beach. I grew up in San Diego, so we all called it PB.
Yeah. I have four different IRAs.
Yes.
I have a traditional, I have a Roth, a rollover, and a SEP.
Okay.
Can I combine any of those?
Yes. Is the SEP currently being funded right now? Is that...
No, I basically did it as like kind of a tax saving.
Right. I know a lot of us did.
Yeah, for about $10,000. I guess that's how much you can pull out if you were to buy a house.
Yep. I did that too. A lot of people did that. Now, yes, you could combine the IRA, the rollover IRA, and the SEP IRA into one.
What would it be under?
Now it would be just a new IRA, just a plain old vanilla IRA.
Traditional IRA.
Yes, the SEP and the rollover. Because a rollover, and Mark, this is just for everybody else. A rollover is what happens when you have a 401k at a place of business and you're working there, and then you leave. You then can roll that 401k into a rollover IRA.
Right.
And that's what you did. And now you have three IRAs that can be combined, but you have to keep the Roth separate.
Right.
Okay, because of the two different way taxes are taken.
Right.
So what you can do is you can call some money manager like me, or you can do it yourself at a bank or a mutual fund. You can do it anywhere you want to and say, I want to combine these three IRAs.
All right. And
they'll be happy to do it. We do it all the time.
All right. Okay? Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Roland, Mountain View. How are you doing, Roland?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Oh, I'm interested in ETFs just like everybody else.
Perfect. Okay.
Is it really tough to try to build a portfolio that's balanced out of ETFs?
I don't think so, Roland. I think it's really easy these days. Why? Because if you go to that ETFconnect.com, they break the ETFs down by industries. And they have ETFs in every industry, every market, every country, almost every country anyways. They have ETFs by continents, like the EFA, you know, the Eastern European and Asian market. You can buy an ETF that covers the whole span.
Well, what about their high beta or low beta? Their small cap, medium?
They actually have.
they have
ETFs that just do small cap or mid cap or large cap. Mid cap growth, small cap growth, small cap.
Well, they're all segregated.
Borland, if you go to that ETF Connect or any one of those other options, you'll say, man, I can split these things any way I want. I can buy 10 shares here, 10 shares there, 10 shares, or 100 shares, 150 shares. I can spread it all around, and I have great diversification with not a lot of money.
And what's the minimum to get in?
You can buy one share.
Well, I mean, if you want to...
Well, you say, what the minimum? You could buy one share. I wouldn't do that, but you could. It depends on your trading cost. Let's say your trading cost is $10 a trade. Well, you know, I would like to buy enough to make it, you know, I don't have to double my money just to break even on the ETF. So for me, you know, I think you need to have about $25,000, and then you can get a very good spread, and the trading cost won't kill you.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Roland. Appreciate the call.
Managing multiple mutual funds, researching professional services, where to put your savings. If it's about money and if it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on Invest Talk.
Let's go to Tony in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Tony?
Very good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question regarding how to buy a mutual fund. When I buy a mutual fund, I try to evaluate the mutual fund manager's style and performance and whatnot. Do you have any service that you know of or any website that actually just looks at the fund manager's performance?
Have you ever looked at Morningstar.com, Tony?
Sure.
Okay, Morningstar.com has a little section on each one of those funds that says this is how it's done against its peer group. Have you seen that little section?
Yeah, I believe so.
That is where you're going to compare the managers with other managers in the same group. And Tony, that's a beautiful way to pick a fund. That's one of my main criteria is pick the fund based on the manager. Pick the fund based on his 3, 5, and 10-year performance.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that guy, that particular guy has been there for 10 years or 5 years, and he produced this performance. And then that performance is one of the top performances of his entire peer group. This is a big problem I have with people, you know, not checking him against his peers. You can't check him against the market, or you really need to check him against his peers. If the whole market goes down 25%, he only went down 3%, and he's the best guy, that's the guy you pick. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. I was just going to say, I'll take a closer look at that, and I appreciate your time. Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. Vic in Bay Area. How you doing, Vic?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Just had a quick question. I'm actually scheduled to meet up with you here in the very near future. I know we're going to have limited time, and I thought this might be useful to other people. So on the 401Ks, pretty much that's all I've dealt with so far in my investment career.
Okay.
I would like to start taking off and doing some of the stock individually. Does one get dinged for that as far as if you cash in some of the 401K investment money and invest in stocks, or is that kind of like trading in for a mutual fund?
Good question, Vic. It depends on your particular 401k, for instance. Many 401ks give you limited options of what you can buy, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, and that's mostly what is out there. But some 401ks, the one I have for my employees, allows you to opt out of those options and trade individual stocks in the 401k. You have to ask your employer if that's available to you.
Okay.
And the employer has to pay for that option in behalf of its employees, but it's only $100, $200 a month. It's not a ton of money. Now, if you took the money out of the 401k and bought stocks outside, you're going to get paid tax and penalty, and you don't really want to do that.
All right.
And when we meet, Vic, bring me your selection so I can take a look at what you get to choose from.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll definitely bring that. And then also, there was something that I wanted to ask you about, a plan that's supposed to solidify your mortgage in 9 years, and I don't know how the heck they can do that, but I'll bring that along as well.
We'll talk about that, too. I've done that, done those kinds of things myself and gotten burned and gotten great benefit from it. Depends on the plan.
Okay, good deal. I'll bring that along as well. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate the call. Look forward to seeing you. You can call right now and be part of the program. Let's hear about what your talking point is. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278, and you can get through right now. Now that this coronavirus scare has shut down all the gymnasiums, my wife has had to go and start running again. That's her normal workout now, and all of a sudden her knees became inflamed, creating lots of pain. Obviously, she's looking for relief and started applying Quanta's Muscle Rub multiple times per day, 3 times a day. She told me it helps reduce her soreness and discomfort. Now, if you listen to our podcast, you know I'm skeptical about many of these kind of products. I'm here to tell you, from personal experience, this brand is believable. Quanta is a publicly traded applied science company. They make health and wellness products utilizing patented technology and makes them up to 5 times more efficient. Their flagship product is an all-natural muscle rub that alleviates aches and pains because it directly reduces inflammation. We have teamed up to help listeners to InvestTalk. So for a limited time, you can save 20% off of all Quanta's health wellness products by using the coupon code INVEST, that's INVEST, on their website. Their website is buyquanta.com. That's BUYQUANTA.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Bob and El Sobrante. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, I've got a question about two measurements that you often use. One, the 200-day moving average, and the other, the level of the Dow. And aren't they different now than they were, I mean, as measurements, as gauges, than they were, say, a year ago?
Yes, because at 200, so, the moving average moves, and the level of the Dow moves even more violently.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the 200-day moving averages of a number of stocks, and it seems like most good stocks are above their 200-day moving average significantly. And so how do you use that as a buying-selling gauge if they've just broken through it?
Remember, Bob, the 200-day moving average is a long-term moving average. That's for investors that buy and pretty much hold. They don't really care about any other indicators. So the 200-day moving average is a very good indicator to tell you if the stock is in a long-term bull phase or a long-term bear phase.
Right, but then if you're looking for stocks to buy and most good stocks have broken through it strongly, then how do you use that as a measurement?
A lot of companies will move down to close to the 200-day moving average. You want to buy them if they find support at that 200-day moving average. Now, they may not get down that far. And the more extended a stock is beyond its 200-day moving average, Bob, the more risk you're taking buying that stock. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Bruce in Newark. How you doing, Bruce?
I was just wondering, you were talking about high-yield bond funds, closed-end. What do you think about high-yield open-ended bond funds at this point?
I prefer the closed-end funds. And you want me to tell you why?
Yes.
Because closed-end funds, because I know no one out there, or very few people know what the difference between an open-end fund and a closed-end fund. A closed-end fund has a finite number of shares, okay? Where an open-end mutual fund, they just keep issuing shares as people put money in. Okay, everybody knows a mutual fund operates on net asset value, right? So whatever the assets they purchase, what is the actual value of them today, add those all in, divide it by the number of shares, and this is your net asset. This is what it is. A closed-end fund has a finite amount of shares. Therefore, they don't keep issuing shares. Therefore, a closed-end fund can sell at a discount or at a premium to the net asset value of the holdings. Many times, they will sell at a discount. Well, the closed-end funds, especially the high yield, a lot of them are selling at a discount right now. In other words, if that fund liquidated, it would give us all more money. In other words, they're selling all the positions in there at a discount. Therefore, we're getting a higher yield, and I'm getting a bargain. I'm getting it on sale. Whereas an open-end fund, you wouldn't get any bargain. You get it right what the value is today. That's it. That's the only reason why I like them today better than I would any other day.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide what to do with my fixed income allocation in my 401k plan, and it has a high yield bond fund and a stable value.
Well, the stable value wouldn't give you too much income because that's not what they're designed to do. They're designed to stay stable and give you some income. The high yield is pretty much an income play. But, of course, you have a little bit high risk with that than the stable value. So you're going to have to trade stable versus risk. Bruce, that's a tough call. Maybe put half in each. How's that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate the call. Tim, Newport Beach, how you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. This is an insurance question, and I'm with a insurance company, a longtime customer, and I have home, rentals, and auto, no claims whatsoever, and their premiums have gone through the roof. It's one of the publicly traded companies.
Which one? You can tell me.
Allstate.
Okay.
And,
you know, Tim, you need to get competing bids. You'll find that you'll get much bigger, and you get a bargain. You will find other companies that will, if you don't have any claims, remember, and just so you'll know, Tim, they find out. If you don't fess up to them, they will find out if you have claims. They have a system called the CIB index, the insurance between the insurance companies, and all of them report to the third party that reports, every insurance company reports every claim to a third party. And then they all the members of this index, you have to pay to be a member, submit your name and your social security number to that index. They'll find out about every claim you ever made.
So you can't, good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. I used to work in the insurance business. That's how I know.
Oh, good. What's the downside?
There's really no downside. Even though you're a long-term customer and you say, well, gee, I don't want to lose my relationship, you know what? Insurance companies, they don't give 2 cents about your relationship, Tim. You have too many claims, your history. Let's say all of a sudden you had 2 or 3 claims, a rash for some reason, for your house. They'll cancel you. They'll double your rate. They don't care about the 20 years you're with them. You have to shop around. Insurance is always available. You can find it. I guarantee you, Tim, you'll find it for 25% less than you're paying today somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, you will find it cheaper. All you do is call up a few companies. There's so many. If you email me, Tim, I'll give you several companies I think you should check with.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, Tim, appreciate it. Just go to investtalk.com and hit contact me, contact us, and type in, I'm the guy on the radio show. Could you give me a couple of insurance companies to check some rates for homeowners, auto? And also, Tim, I don't know if you do this, but if you might want to get excess insurance, you get umbrella?
I do.
Okay, then good. That's the way you go about it. Some people buy I'll buy $2 million or with their insurance. Well, no, buy $500,000, then get $2 million umbrella. Yeah,
right.
That's much cheaper way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call. I'm Money Manager Steve Peasley, and we're here to help you get better results if we can with your invested dollars. That's our goal. Do you have a question? Check in now, 888-99-CHART.
Presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Kathy in Oceanside. How are you doing, Kathy?
Hi. My question is, my husband and I are going through a bankruptcy, and we were able to keep our house, but we're just starting to look at now, how are we going to rebuild? And what would be the best strategies for us starting all over again?
Okay. Well, one way, you need to get a couple of credit cards. Now, that doesn't sound like you can do it, huh? You can. This is how you do it. You have to go to the credit card company and deposit money with them.
It's like a prepaid credit card.
Yeah.
Okay.
And use it. Use that money and do it month to month. I had a sister-in-law who filed bankruptcy, did this. It took her several years. This is how she rebuilt her credit. Now she's, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago. Now her credit's pretty decent because that's what she did. So that's what you want to do. You got to start rebuilding and prove that you are going to make payments.
Take out small loans that you know for a fact that you can pay back. And that will build your credit, because when you have accounts that are fully paid off and fully up to date and they have a long credit history on them, you've had them for many years, that will improve your credit score over time.
That's where you start, Kathy. So good luck. I hope it works for you. It will work. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Let's go to David in San Diego. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
My question's about Roth IRAs. My wife and I want to start contributing to one, but we're a few years away from hitting that income ceiling. What happens after we hit that mark? Can we no longer contribute and have to open up a separate one, or you know how that works?
Yes, we're not accountants, but I kind of know how it works. Are you maxing out your 401ks?
No, we're planning to take our 401ks down just to the company match and start putting some at the Roth.
Okay. Actually, I think that's a good idea. Roth acts like a regular IRA. In other words, you can put as much money up to $5,000 in it. Roth is after-tax money, and it grows tax-free. When you pull it out, some years, whenever it is down the road, after your retirement age, you don't have to pay any taxes on the money that's coming out. When you hit the income limit, in other words, you and your wife make X amount of dollars. I think it's
160-something, I believe, 168, 169, I think.
Okay. When you hit that number, you no longer, I believe, you can no longer contribute to any Roth. You can't open up another one or anything like that. No, you cannot contribute to a Roth anymore because you make too much money. I don't know why they think in those terms. But you need to check with an accountant, Dave, about that number, because the number probably changes all the time, every year.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's a Roth IRA. Let's go to JP in San Francisco. How you doing, JP?
Hey, I got a question. You know how whenever you talk to a finance radio talk show, they always talk about how analysts is like they're just pumping up stocks.
They're usually wrong.
They're
not always wrong, but they're usually wrong.
But majority of the time, they're wrong.
Right. I would say more than 50%.
So what about using as a strategy just going opposite what they always talk about?
Yeah, that might be a good strategy. I've never thought about that. What I've noticed is what happens is they're usually wrong. It's the degree of how wrong they're going to be. Someone did a study. I read this a few months back from the very initial looking at a stock. In other words, let's say eBay came out with earnings tonight, and now the analysts are going to be predicting what they're going to do next quarter. From this point right now, they're usually off, according to this article, about 40%.
Wow.
But what they do is they keep changing their numbers as the quarter goes by. So even at the very end, they're still wrong. They're just not as wrong as they were before. Now, that could be wrong high or low. You never know how which side of the coin they're going to be wrong on. So that's the problem.
That's interesting. All right, good enough. Thank
okay?
you.
Thank you. We're going to go to Jimmy in San Ramon. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Steve. I'm a new listener.
Great.
New to this whole investing thing. I actually have a investment set up with my union, but I've been looking to spend maybe $1,000 and get into my own stocks, building my own stuff, and I was wondering what you thought would be a good one to get into with that smaller amount of money.
Well, just to let you know, we can answer questions, but I can't give you recommendations. How old are you?
24.
This is a great time to start thinking about it because the market over time will give you, 10%. That's what it's done over time for the last 7,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
10% return. The question is, a lot of people don't get that return because they have no clue what they're doing. One of the problems that most people do have is they let their emotions get involved with their decision making.
Mm-hmm.
When they see their prices are going down and the stock market's crashing, they get out. You gotta look longer term. When they see the market going up and just up, 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 they put more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if you really want to be successful, when you are at your saddest and you feel like you just wasted money putting in the market, that's when you put more in.
Uh-huh.
And when you're at your happiest, that you're making a ton of money over the years, and look at this stock, my stocks went up the last 6 months to 100%. Sell. Take it out. Take some profits. You play your own emotions that way, you'll be a lot better off. So the one thing you need to do is figure out how to evaluate stocks. How to determine whether this is a stock that's overpriced or is this stock on sale.
Uh-huh.
Stick with the price of stocks that are on sale, but at the same time, those same on-sale stocks, you want to be in an uptrend on a chart. In other words, the stock has been moving up consistently for a while. That's how you pick stocks.
Uh-huh.
If you give me a call, I will be happy to give you some value methods that are not very difficult.
Uh-huh.
And then on the websites, there's a ton of places. One of the easiest way to evaluate a stock, and I'm going to give it to you right now, is take next year's growth rate of a stock. Multiply that times its earnings estimates by the experts for next year. Remember, the stocks look forward, not backward. So if the earning for next year is going to be $1 per share, it's always a per share issue. If the earnings is going to be $1 per share next year, and it's growing at 20% a year, multiply 20 times $1, and the stock price fair value is about $20.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Great.
Good luck, and you'll love it. I started at 21. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. We want to answer your questions. Our listener line number is always ready for you, 888-99-CHART, beginning our experience. We're here to answer your questions.
Numbers are elusive.
I bought this stock last year at about $6.75.
They're always changing.
I got them at $3.99 and it took a major hit.
First up, then down, then up again, or maybe sideways.
What would be a good entry point?
On InvestTalk, the focus is on numbers that affect our listeners and their portfolios.
Carl in Ohio, he wants to talk about his 401k.
Hi, Justin. Longtime listener of the show. I absolutely love it.
Let's go to Dave in San Leandro.
You've got to be prepared for volatility.
I want to know what you think for someone like me.
And they know it.
I'm 31 years old.
So the questions keep coming.
Should I dollar cost average that?
24/7.
How much of your portfolio should you put into like ETFs and mutual funds?
From every part of America.
Hey, Steve and Justin. My name's Josh, calling from Buffalo, New York.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein analyze the complex patterns in those numbers and do their very best to decipher the potential meanings.
Thanks for everything you guys do.
And here's one number that keeps rising. More than 21 million InvestTalk podcast downloads. And for that, Steve and Justin thank their loyal listeners.
I find you guys to be pretty much entirely trustworthy. So I'm curious, how do you do that?
Independent thinking, shared success.
It's all about the numbers. InvestTalk.com.
You're You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Okay, let's go to Jim in Carlsbad. How are you doing, Jim?
The question I had was about a mutual fund versus the exchange-traded fund. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the difference between those?
Okay, ETFs are fairly new. I mean, there's lots of it's kind of exploding and take a lot of money out of the mutual funds, so this is kind of an interesting thing. The mutual fund has a manager, okay? He may be a large-cap mutual fund. He may be a small-cap. He may have a discipline that he is employing, and he states that in the prospectus. And he says, I'm going to buy large-cap stocks. So he goes out and buys those large cap, and he manages, buys and sells, and he tries to manage that portfolio to make money. A ETF, exchange-traded fund, is an unmanaged fund. It follows indexes, like the QQQs or the SPYs, or can follow a sector, like the insurance sector or the banking sector or oil sector. It can be an ETF that just has those group of stocks in them. But they're not managed at this point. Most of the time, they're not managed. They're not managing the ETF. You're just buying that group of stocks, and there you go. So one is much more managed than the other. On the other hand, ETFs are much cheaper because they're not managed. It's the cheaper fees than a mutual fund. So
ETFs
that's
are more focused on industry groups then and rather than capital value?
And areas of the world, even country-specific sometimes, or just areas of the market, yes.
Great.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Lloyd in San Diego. How are you doing, Lloyd?
Pretty good. I've been thinking a lot about unrealistic expectations of retirement lately. Like I have $150,000 in my company's pension plan.
Yes.
And I have $130,000 in my 401k.
Okay.
Now, from my understanding is if I left my company right now at the age of 50, I have to do something with that pension. I can either let them maintain it or I have to move that money somewhere.
Right.
But I can't touch that till I believe I'm the age of 62.
The smartest thing usually, Lloyd, is to take it out of there, roll it over into an IRA, and then you manage or you hire somebody to manage it. Usually that's the smartest thing. Many times they'll try to talk you into an annuity and annuitize it.
Right.
And I never like that idea. I think the expenses are too much, costs are too high. And then you're stuck. Whatever it is, it is. You don't have any freedom whatsoever. My personal preference would be to roll it over an IRA. And that's what? It comes to about $280,000 for you total?
Right.
What you need to do is think in these terms, 7% to 10% return in the stock market, okay? If you want to maintain your lifestyle and not touch the principal, figure out what 7 to 10% on $280,000 is, and there's your money.
That's what my stocks are doing in my 401k. That's about the average return I've been getting on a quarter on those. They've been doing pretty good.
Okay, that's good. If it's on a quarter bit, that's pretty good.
So I'm thinking about leaving the San Diego area and moving to an area where it's living is a lot less.
Well, that's what my parents did. They went to outside of Tucson. Loved it, by the way. It was desert, but I didn't like it. But they loved it. Mm-hmm. And the house value here compared to there, they had tons of extra money.
Right.
So then they lived off that money plus a retirement. It worked out fine for them.
That's not too bad to think that way then?
No, that's a good way to think. If you don't mind moving out of the Southern California area and buying someplace that's half the price, man, I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Thanks, Lloyd.
All right.
Thank you.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
And let's go to Cy in Oceanside. How you doing, Cy?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I'm a beginning investor.
Okay.
I have a question about OCT. Are they stock, or if you buy it, are they easy to sell? Or
OCT.
What's OCT?
What, over the counter?
Over the counter tray, right?
Oh, these are, you're talking about pink sheet stocks. They call them pink sheets.
Oh, okay.
Over the counter, it's called also pink sheets. And the reason why they call them pink sheets is because the way people file them, they are on pink paper. Don't ask me why. That's where it came from. To me, most pink sheet stocks will go out of business. Okay, I'll let you know for sure. You can make a ton of money or you can lose all your money on these stocks. And it's really not a good idea for as a beginner to even mess with any of them. They're too risky. They're very usually they're very low priced, and they're usually manipulated. People push them up and down and take advantage of other people buying them. They're too easily pushed up and down. The liquidity is too small.
Okay. Thank you.
Sai, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Tom in San Francisco. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I thank you for your call.
I would like to ask about long-short equity funds. I've heard a little about that lately.
For everybody else, what Tom is asking about is a mutual fund that goes long and a mutual fund that goes short, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you're talking about a fund that goes short and long.
Yes.
There's not too many of them out there, but I kind of like them because you're giving the manager a lot of flexibility. So if something disastrous happens, he can play the market on the downside. You're buying a mutual fund which is allowing the mutual fund manager to short the market. And for everybody else, shorting the market means that you make money if the market goes down. You make money if that particular stock goes down that you're shorting. Long means you make money when the stock price goes up. So if you have a short, long mutual fund, you're letting that guy decide whether he wants to be long, short, or both. And if he's both, he's straddling the market. He's not sure what direction the market's going to go. So you can short really bad stocks and go long really good stocks, and you can make money both ways. But generally, I'll say this. Generally, the market, if it goes in a particular direction, if it's going up, the shorts don't work and the longs work. If it's going down, the shorts work and the longs don't, generally speaking. Tom, there's really not much difference in their management fees and so on and so forth. It's pretty much the same. Also, usually on these long short funds, you're allowing them to go to cash when they want to.
In general, then, are these more risky because they've got shorts in them?
They would be considered more risky, Tom. I don't consider them more risky, but the SEC does consider them more risky because shorting the market is more risky. Why is it more risky? Because if you short a stock, to get out of a short is the act of buying. And if the stock goes up that you're shorting, it can go up forever. And you could lose infinite amounts of money. That's why they consider it more risky. Now, of course, what manager in his right mind will let it do that? But still, that's the possibility. And if you go long, the most you can lose is all your money. Go down to zero. So it's less risky. To me, that's kind of a silly argument. But the SEC considers them more risky, Tom. In fact, I think if you did the statistics, I think you'd find they're less risky. But they're considered more risky by most people.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Okay, remember, we love beginner questions, so we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
Love your show, new listener and new investor.
Great.
I had a question. I wanted to know, when do you know when to sell your mutual fund?
Aha. Okay, you got a little pen that you can write some of this down?
Yes, I do.
Or you can listen to the show later on our archives.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. One rule we like is when they change managers, that's one reason to sell.
Okay.
Another reason to sell is when they stop doing the things they were doing. In other words, let's say they're a small cap value fund and the fund is not buying small cap stocks or starting to buy mid cap stocks. Why are they doing that? Watch the amount of money under management. When that changes dramatically, consider getting out.
Is that also with global funds also?
Yes, it is. What happens, Joe, is when these mutual funds, they're successful and they have, let's say, $500 million under management, and they're doing really, really well, they attract a lot of money in a short period of time. It really affects their performance. Going forward, they can't do what they do. That's why it's the best ones will close and not take more money.
I see. All right. Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
Joe. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. InvestTalk hosts Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are the principals of KPP Financial, and they are independent financial advisors. This means they place their clients' interests ahead of the firm's. As part of that commitment, KPP Financial practices parallel investing, where Steve and Justin's accounts participate with client investments at equal prices and percentages. You can learn more about parallel investing and the other KPP Financial programs at investtalk.com. The phone lines are open. Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call now. 888 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, and we're going to go talk to Noel in San Francisco. How you doing, Noel?
I'm doing good. I wanted to see what you thought of I-bonds. I'm looking at a lot of different investment opportunities, but I thought that'd be a conservative spot, and I kind of expect inflation to kick up its heels in the future. I don't see how it couldn't. But
I like I-bonds, Noel, for your conservative money. I think that's a lot better place than money market. You're going to make a lot more money there, and it would always keep up with inflation, which is, you can't say that about a CD.
Yeah, it's beautiful, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good place to put some money that you want to protect. You don't want to take too much risk with it. I-bonds, everybody's inflation-protected bonds, or U.S. government treasury. And what happens, they have two parts to them. One part of the yield you get is fixed, okay? And so they add those two together, those two parts, inflation and base. And they add those two together. And every 6 months, the inflation part gets reset based on the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. So if inflation goes up, your yield goes up. If inflation goes down, your yield goes down. I'll tell you this, Noel. I think inflation's going to be a problem. The only way I see it becoming a problem, really, is if jobs start to get created. So inflation's going to be kind of tame. On the other side of the coin, you've got the commodity part. And I think we're going to see inflation in commodities even without the job creation, because of demand worldwide on the commodities are going to push prices up.
Yes.
But inflation really can't get a hold until we see some job creation. Therefore, I don't think it's going to fall at all, that inflation part of that I bond.
Right, I agree.
I think it can only go up. I don't think it can fall.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I think it's a great place. Noel, you got my permission. I think it's great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Noel. Paul in Point Richmond, how you doing, Paul?
Very good, thank you. I'm approaching retirement, and I'm pretty well diversified, but I have $100,000. I'm afraid to really risk market right now. I'm in a money market. It's at 3%.
Okay.
I'm thinking I don't know where else to go. I'm afraid of REITs. I'm afraid of the high yield market. I just think I may leave it sit there until, say, bonds go higher in terms of yield, and then invest in a bond.
Can I give you a better way to go without taking any risk?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you heard me talk about laddering before.
Yes.
Okay. How about taking that $100,000 and divide it up into maybe, let's say, 10 parts, $10,000 each?
Okay.
You could do CDs or you can do treasuries. Okay, and what you do is you go out like 6 months. Well, when do you think interest rates will go up? Maybe 3 months?
Yeah.
Okay, first one due in 3 months. Go out 3 months. The next one, 6 months. The next one, 9 months. The next one, 1 year. Then 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. What you do is you keep ladder them out to the longer, so you keep going out far, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe go out only maybe 3 to 4 years,
okay?
So now, as interest rates rise, the first 10,000 comes due, you go out for like 3 years. And that'll give you the highest rate for 3 years, right?
Right.
Then the next one, that now 6 months later, you're going to go out another 3 years. So 3 years and 3 months, the second one will come due. You see how I'm doing that?
Uh-huh.
What this does, it's called a ladder. If interest rates rise, you're getting more and more return. And over the long haul, if interest rates continue to rise, you will make more money. And it's very safe.
Okay.
You can do it that way. You know, if you lock up a CD for a year or 2 years and interest rates go up in between, you're not really maximizing your gain. You are maximizing your security, you know, if you're safe.
Yeah.
But the latter idea is not that hard, really. When it comes up for renewal, you just got to tell the bank, you can do it by phone or whatever. They'll do it automatically over the phone. Tell them what you want.
What portion of that should I have available to pay tax on that income?
Well, what you do is you make sure that you have one come due a little bit before April 15th.
Okay. Yep.
That way you know it. Okay, here's $10,000. Okay. Well, how much do I need to pay taxes?
All right.
Paul, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks very much.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
We're going to go to Dennis in Richmond. Hi, Dennis. How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. Got a question for you. What do you know about private equity? I've got...
They scare me. How's that?
Okay.
You know, there's obvious reasons. Private equity means that someone's trying to produce money to build a company, to run a company, to manage a company, and their idea is eventually to take it public. When it does, you as a private equity investor, you're buying shares while it's private.
Right.
In the company. And while it's private, you know, it's what's its value? Its value, whatever, maybe the company's worth something, maybe it's not. It's hard to know because you got to find someone else to buy it from you, you personally. But once it goes public, you can cash in big, and that's the whole attractiveness of it.
Uh-huh.
So why? You have someone offering you a private equity thing, Dennis?
Yeah.
I get those all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Well, I haven't decided yet.
The biggest thing on these, Dennis, is do you know the people? Do you trust the people? If you don't know them, I would walk away. If you know them very well and you know all about that business, then you have special knowledge, then you could do it.
Yeah.
But they are so good. The brochures and everything looks so good. And I would run the other way if these are just out of the blue and you don't, you know, that someone just found you. Run.
Right. Well, I have to get my running shoes then.
Okay. I've just seen too much of this stuff go sour. That's why. Just too much. I'd say 9 out of 10 go bad, you lose all your money.
Yep.
But that
one
tenth, that one, you could be a multimillionaire. That's the why it's why it's attractive sometimes.
Okay. I don't think my luck is that good.
Yeah, I'd run.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate your call.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Now, if you have a question about a stock or an IRA, college savings plan, well, maybe buying a house, mortgages, reverse mortgages, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Santa in San Diego. How are you doing, Santa?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, but thank you for having me on your show. But I wanted to ask you about children. Let's say I have my 18-year-old daughter. She's very ambitious, and she saved some money and all that. And we went to open an account at the bank, and I wanted to see what your opinion is on, like, to make the best. I know it's very little interest or little profit they can make out of their little income, but just the beginning, what would be the best route to take?
Okay, well, she's so young. Did she have any earnings last year or this year? Did she work?
This year.
Okay,
yes.
So are you going to open up an IRA for her? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. We just opened a little checking account in the bank and applied for a credit card.
Okay, so the money that you put in the market, Sana, is money that you don't plan on really touching for a long time. So don't.
That's fine.
So if she's doing that, then she should put it in like any kind of account, a discount account, like E-Trade or Scottrade, those kind of accounts. Open up an account in her name, and then she could buy something like the S&P 500, which is you can buy all 500 companies with one position called the SPY. It's an ETF, and you can buy it and just hold it. And she can ride the market in that. And you can do that with very little money and very little cost.
Okay, so you do trust the Scottrade because we have an office right next to where I work.
Yes, they're SIPC insured, SIPC insured, up to $500,000. So, yeah, she will never have to worry. They're the custodian. She'll never have to worry about her money, someone trying to steal it.
All right.
Let me tell you who steal money is people that and manage other people's money that they do not have SIPC insured.
Mm-hmm.
So never, ever give your money to somebody who's not SIPC insured.
SIPC. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Sana. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good day.
Tim, San Diego. How are you doing, Tim?
Hi, I'm doing well. I have a question on a 401k account. I've got a mutual fund that I've been investing in, and in 2004, they closed it to new investors.
Yes.
So I'm still able to contribute, and I do. However, I've heard that there could be some disadvantages to funds that are closed to new investors. Can you add any information to that?
I don't think there is disadvantages. If you forgive me, let me explain it to everybody else. Mutual funds are open-ended. All mutual funds are open-ended, and you can keep buying shares, but they do have the right to close it. That means that they say, we got too much money for what we do, or we don't want to get too much money for what we do. Maybe we buy small-cap stocks, and we're getting too big. Or too much money flooded in too fast. That happens too. It's very responsible for the fund managers to close it. When I hear a fund manager closing a fund, I say good for them, because they have recognized they're not as greedy as they could be, Tim, right? I mean, what money manager doesn't want more and more and more money? They make a percentage, all the money they manage. So if they closed it, there's not too many downsides. Now, when a fund is closed, it's usually just closed for any new investors, but existing clients, existing investors, can continue to add money if they want to. And that's the situation you find yourself. Now, yeah. Tim, the disadvantages of a closed fund. Well, the disadvantage is there's a reason why they closed the fund. The reason could be they have too much money to stay focused in the investments that they have. It's a good and bad thing. Well, the good thing is they recognize that they want to stay focused on what they can do, and that's by not taking more and more and more money in. The bad is they probably got too much money. So they might underperform.
This is a huge fund. It's called the Prime Cap Fund at Vanguard.
Oh, well, absolutely means very little in this situation, because they are so big, they are the market.
Oh.
They are so big, Tim, when they throw around a few billion dollars, that's pennies to them. So they're so big, they have to buy the big stocks, and pretty much whatever the stock market does, they do. It's almost like buying an index fund.
Okay. As a growth fund, it's okay. It's a good component to still having a 401k.
Sure.
Plan.
There's nothing wrong with it. I wouldn't pick it because of the size. I'm kind of a guy who likes to make sure the manager has flexibility. And because of the size, I wouldn't pick it. But your 401k, that might be one of the better ones in your 401k because you don't get a lot of choices.
Great. Well, thanks for the information.
Thanks for calling. Thank you.
I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program, everybody. Please remind your friends that they can listen to InvestTalk 5 days a week in the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time. And they can download podcast shows anytime they want. Justin will be here on Monday. I will return on Tuesday. So everybody have a great weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.